You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Tommy, Edmonton didn't obviously play how they wanted to. The two penalties in the first period, full mark, like the easiest too many men in the ice penalty the refs could ever call. And, you know, that was the trip on Duncan Keith. And, the power play, of the Stars was very good. And the first time all year, the Oilers allow, two power play goals in one game. And, they just could never recover. And even when they got shots, they couldn't get any of them through.
Yeah, and it just seemed like everything was one and done. Felt like the Oilers were getting pushed to the outside a lot. Speed through the neutral zone wasn't something they were able to generate very often. And kudos to the Stars, Greggs, for playing the Oilers very well. And you kind of heard it on the broadcast. You know, teams look at the Oilers now, and they have to have their A game, so they're getting up to play the Oilers. Yep, sure. But at the same time, I don't think the Oilers did themselves any favors last night. Stuart Skinner made some great saves, no doubt about that. And unfortunately, the guys in front of him couldn't give him any run support. That's a tough one. And I'm kind of concerned, Greggs, honestly, about them on the road. Because if you think about it, they're 5-4 on the road. The record's good. They've gotten points away from home. That's fantastic. But a lot of those games you look at, you're like, they didn't play particularly great. They were able to dig themselves out of holes, especially on that trip that they were most recently on where they went 2-3. The two wins they got were against Boston and St. Louis, where they were able to go and run and gun a little bit with those two teams. Overall, the only game on the road that I think back to and go, geez, they played really well, was the one in Vancouver where they almost played a flawless 60 minutes and got scored on with like 5 or 6 seconds left. Outside of that, these road games could go either way, and fortunately, the Oilers have outscored their mistakes, a theme we've heard a lot of, and it kind of continued last night. They haven't been able to play a really good road game outside of that one against Vancouver.
That's a good point. That's something that they will, you know, they found ways to win, sure. Last night, I really thought last night's the first game this season where the opposing team completely, I felt, was full marks. They didn't give up anything. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was great goaltending. They're, you know, Odger actually looked like he was right for the picking. He looked like he was kind of fighting the puck. The Oilers just could never get enough pucks through.
Yeah. And that was one thing. You know, we saw these two goalies going in, Skinner versus Ottinger, kind of similar trajectories, and maybe you try to take advantage of Ottinger, who, you know, had good numbers going into the game and limited work, obviously, but the team in front of him made it easy for him, and that's you know, I suppose if you want to use an example of how to win one for your goalie, make it easy on him. Dallas Stars provided the template this year. And I don't know, maybe teams go back to the way Dallas played the Oilers last night and reference that footage as they approach the Edmonton Oilers nowadays, because here we are. Edmonton's got an Arizona team that's probably watching what Dallas did last night, and the Coyotes probably feel good about themselves. They've won 3 of 4, 2 in a row. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, really? Interesting. So we'll see what happens tonight, but you bring up the back-to-back games record under Dave Tippett, and it's pretty good for the Oilers.
Oh, it's very good. And, you know, we'll see how they bounce back tonight. You know, they're going to have a collective team effort. I felt last night that the Oilers, they moved the puck too slow a few times. And you saw Evan Bouchard was frustrated with himself twice when he, when he left the ice because, you know, kind of had his pocket picked from behind. You know, one time he saw a dry set. The Oilers, I felt Dallas was very hungry on the puck, but Edmonton, a little too casual moving the puck. I think one of their focuses is going to be move the puck quicker tonight.
Yeah, sharp passes, good pass, put the puck in the right spot too. That's part of moving the puck efficiently. And just a real quick note on Evan Bouchard. There was one instance, him and Broberg, I think it was on the Rope-Hintz goal, where they basically left Hintz and I think it was Radulov just all alone in front, and both Oilers defenders, young guys, keep in mind, kind of split to the sides. And of course, we saw the redirection go in, and I'm like, and it was Broberg on the other side too. I'm like, all right, two young defensemen, but you know, you got to make contact with the guys in front and plow them out of the way somehow, uncontested, and that was kind of indicative of the rest of the night as well.
The Oilers forwards tonight, I think, have got to take advantage because the Oilers defense, you can say they're a little inexperienced, which they are.
three guys with a total of 70 NHL games between them in Bouchard, Broberg, and Lagesson. Well, Arizona has three guys with 41 games of experience between them. And, you know, obviously, Jacob Chychrun will probably get the toughest matchups tonight. And so, to me, there's two ways. I can understand if you want to load up McDavid and Draisaitl and feel like, well, our second line and third line should be able to, you know, penetrate the rest of Arizona. Or if you keep Draisaitl and McDavid separate, then one of them automatically is going to be going up against a weaker pair.
Yeah. And Chychrun, to his listen, I know that they're throwing him out there in all situations, and he's their anchor on the blue line, but he's having a rough go this season, too, and that's indicative of how things are going with the Coyotes. I would like to see, Gregor, honestly, the Oilers just go for the throat on this one. Pedal to the metal. Just play pissed off. Know that you didn't have a good game last night. Use that as motivation. Just go take this game. Don't worry about everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks. Just go out there and take this game. Show that you are a really strong team in this, first of all, division, then conference, then league. Just assert yourself and don't even give the Arizona Coyotes a sniff. Don't let them hang around. Don't let them feel like they're in it. Don't let them build off of whatever momentum they've created in these last four games where they have points in each one and have won three of them. Don't let them. Take away their will to win, bury them early, pepper them, go after. They're facing Scott Wedgwood tonight. Like, go after Scott Wedgwood, okay? Like, that would be ideal. Let's see if they can do that. But you're right about the matchups. Take advantage. Don't let it linger, because that just leads to trouble.
Tom Gzola joins us. I'm at Sports Center, TSN 1260. I'm kind of curious about Arizona and the fact, like, what are they going to do off of the ice? Glendale doesn't want a long-term lease now. Maybe the Coyotes will convince them to do another one-year lease. But if not, I'm kind of fascinated to see where they might play. Houston makes the most sense if they had to move because they're still in the Central Division. They have an arena that's right there. It's good to go. So I'm kind of curious. I know that the NHL has tried everything in their power. Like, no one could say they haven't tried and they haven't done their best to keep the team in Arizona. I'm just not sure how it's ever going to work.
Yeah, it's sad. And this has kind of flown under the radar recently. We haven't heard much movement. And with Glendale and them pulling the lease on the Coyotes, like, that's a tough one. And I talked to some friends that work for the organization, and they just shrug and they're like, well, I don't know. Management and ownership are working on trying to find an arena for next year. I don't know if the downtown arena would work where the Suns play, because they just pumped, I think, like $250 to $300 million in renos into that building. I don't know if it still has an ice plant. Maybe you could bring one in. It would be like Barclays Center was when the Islanders were playing out of there. It's not a hockey arena by any means. Obstructed views, all that. They have this old mini saddle dome. I think it holds like 13 or 14,000. Not NHL caliber, maybe not even AHL caliber, but it's there. And even more interesting, I was talking to a Coyotes player two summers ago, Gregs, and I was saying to him, like, where are you guys going to play? What's going on? And he just said, Tom, honestly, I think we're going to Houston in a couple of years. Now he's not on the team anymore. He's somewhere else on another team. So that's not his issue to worry about. But that was the talk amongst the players. He's like, we're just going to Houston. That building in Houston, I covered AHL games there when the Arrows were still playing there. And it's feasible. It's up to date. Obviously, the Rockets play there. Houston's a mega huge city. Creates the rivalry with the Stars. Maybe the writing's on the wall and we're just not talking about it because there's more pressing issues in the world of hockey. But the Coyotes, man, like, the building in Gila River Arena, that's a fantastic building in the wrong part of town.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I would agree with you on that one for sure. Tommy, one last one. If you ever needed more example of how bad of a job Brock Sutherland did, the Edmonton Elks had no All-Stars, not one, on the West Division team. That's happened twice before, once in 2007 and another time, I think, in 1963, which going way back. But like that, whoever the new GM is, all you got to look, people are going to have to be patient because, you know, there's some decent pieces here, but none that stand out.
No, and that's a good indicator of how bad this season was. We know the record was terrible, the home record awful. At least, you know, it seems like the demeanor from Alan Watt and Ian Murray, they recognize it. They see that there's a ton of work to be done. They need to establish a lot of things, reestablish a lot of levels of excellence, hopefully, with this organization. And more salt in the wound when you bring up the lack of All-Star nominations. But this was a stinker of a season, a harsh reminder of how quickly things can slip in this league. And I think, you know, a couple of bright spots here is there's nowhere else to go but up, Greggs. And in the CFL, we've seen it. It can be built back relatively quickly, whether it's a year or two. It's been done many times before. You're right about patience, but just another sign of how bad this year truly was. On the field, off the field, goes down in history as one of the worst in franchise history, maybe of all time.
Tommy, have a good one, man. Coming up, George Larocque on the pregame show today.
Yeah, big George. I haven't talked to him since he serenaded Fernando Pisani with Fernando by ABBA at Farewell Rexall Place. So looking forward to that huge get from Connor. Big shout out to Connor Halley for getting George Larocque tonight.
All right, we'll tune in for that. What do you got? What time are you guys getting going tonight for the pregame?
Right after the Jason Greger show, 6
p.m.
to
8. Oh, the double one. All right, two-hour one right at 6 o'clock. All right, we'll tune into that one. Have a good one, Tommy.
You too, Greg. Thanks.